Hi, this is Mike Fabares wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a joyful New Year. December 31st marks the end of our fiscal year, but it's more than just an accounting deadline for us. Based on your response, we're making key decisions that are going to impact your community all year long. The strength of your contribution determines our capacity to touch lives through Focal Point. So today, give if you can by phone or website or the app. And now, today's Focal Point.
Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares reminds us we need other people.
God has given you encouragement. He has brought you comfort. He does provide you with fellowship. He does give you tenderness and compassion. But here's the thing. When He's brought us compassion or comfort or encouragement or tenderness, where did it come? God is supplying a lot of these things in your life and mine through people. As God has ministered to me, I want to minister to other people.
When a lion's prowling for his dinner, who's gonna be eaten? Well, everybody knows the most vulnerable prey is that one lone gazelle, isolated from the group. And it's no different for people. Are you alone? Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares offers a comforting reason why God arranges and even requires Christians to live in community. In a hostile world, there's great solace and strength in knowing you're never alone. Are you knit together with others in Christ? It's not just a suggestion. It's essential.
Turn to Hebrews 10. This will be the first of three passages that I want to look at to think through what it means to be connected and why we need to and how we need to connect more often, because we do need to connect more often. Coming to church once a week, sitting in a seat, singing a few songs, watching the guy gab from the stage about the Bible, that's a very small part of what God intended for the Christian life. He wants us to not just sit with seats side by side, but seats face to face and be able to connect in relationships. And here's three reasons why. Let's start in verse number 23 of Hebrews chapter 10, when he says, "Let us hold unswervingly, uncompromisingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur." Now here's a phrase you'll see all the time in our English texts, "one another." That's big in the Bible. "Let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And by the way, if you're considering not getting together, you better stop that. He says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, verse 23 is about my relationship with God. Verse 24 and 25 are about how you, in my life, help me have that happen. You need to understand that your resolve, your Christian resolve, your commitment, it requires or needs a team. You gotta have a team. We need each other. One of the reasons we need to intentionally work to connect more often is, number two, it's because our habit or our tendency is not to bother, letter B. That's our tendency. We are naturally wanting to say, it's trouble, and it is trouble. There's no doubt about it, but isn't that the point of this passage, verse 25? You ought to take the time and make the has to do that, you know, pay the price, if you will, to meet together. You got to assemble, you got to encourage one another, you've got to spur each other on, even if it is our habit. Now the text, Hebrews 10, started this whole discussion about one another's in verse 24 with a great word about considering. Considering. Let us consider how. The point is for you and I to get in settings where we can make this happen. Turn you to Acts chapter 2. Here's some, number two, ways we need to connect. Let's look at verse number 42. They, that is the early church here, these new disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And that's a good thing, but it's a different sermon. And to the fellowship, the koinonia. And here's some of the ways they did it. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. And their commitment to one another and their commonality, verse number 45, was selling their possessions and their goods, giving to anyone as he had need. If there was a need, they met it. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now that's the big meeting, right? And oftentimes the apostle would stand up and teach. That was part of their devotion. And they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Growing church, but they were committed to a kind of relationship that even brought them into their homes, involved eating together, and was all about their common commitment to each other. But here's the thing. You're going to take time today to eat. Am I right? Here's the deal. You can double up. I'm going to eat and stuff my face full of carbs, right? And I'm going to fellowship. I'm going to connect with other Christians who share a common commitment to Jesus Christ. Letter B, number two. Take a look at verse 46, as long as we're talking about breaking bread and taking meals together. But look at what it says they were doing. They broke bread, next three words, where? In their homes. Share meals, not only at the restaurants, not only in the marketplace, but in our homes. There's something about that that can't help but connect people together. God wants us to connect more often, and one way you ought to do it is by sharing your home. How about this one? Go back up to Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to, one more thing, what?
Prayer.
Prayer. Could you, letter C, share your prayers? Share your prayers. Because here's what's going to happen. When you start doing that, you'll start caring about them. And when you wrestle in prayer for someone for the spiritual kinds of things in their lives, when you see them at the table, you won't be saying, well, how about the weather? And if you've been wrestling in prayer for them to be fully assured in Christ, I don't think the conversation's going to be trivial when you take them to lunch next week. See what I'm saying? Ways we should connect, share your meals, share your home, share your prayers. That's the example of the Bible. I think there's enough imperatives for us to say that should be normative for the Christian life. But besides the content of the prayer, I haven't had a lot of content of what I'm supposed to be doing. Connecting, well, that doesn't tell me much. Well, great. Go to Philippians 2, and let's round out this message with just a little bit from that passage as to what I'm trying to accomplish when I connect with other people. Take people to lunch. That's great. What do I talk about? Well, here. This will help. Philippians chapter 2. Look at the logic. This is such a great progression in Paul's thinking and the Holy Spirit's thinking here. Follow this. Verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, you're not alienated outside, alone, without hope in the world, excluded from the covenant. So yeah, it's really good. Parakletos. I have been, that's what encouragement translates. Who's called the Parakletos in the Bible, by the way? Holy Spirit. Parakletos is a great word too. Called alongside of, para next to, kaleo, called to. It's like a leg brace. Have you ever felt like there's been some shoring up of your life just from the truth that you are connected with Christ? Oh, there's encouragement from being united with Christ, absolutely. Is there any comfort from his love? How about that? Have you ever been comforted by the fact, maybe studying John 21, that here is Jesus restoring a fallen Peter who's denied Christ in the courtyard of Caiaphas and the tender breakfast and come and have breakfast and do you love me, Peter? All of that. Has there ever been any comfort in your life that God loves sinners like us? Yeah. That's been helpful when I've been down, feeling guilty, struggling. How about any fellowship with the Spirit? There's the word koinonia, right? I'm not alone. He promised, right, to never leave us, never forsake us. The Spirit is our contact with the triune God. Has there ever been those times you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't fear any evil because he's with us, right? Has there ever been that fellowship with the Spirit in your life? Yeah. How about tenderness from God or any compassion that he's shown you? Well, he's good at that. And he's done those things for me. God has been good to me. Great. Then, look at the logic. Make my joy complete by being like-minded. Be like that. All of you share that mindset, having the same love. He's already told us that, or he's going to, right? Love like God loves. Being one in spirit and purpose, okay? Well, wait a minute. God's doing all that for us, and I want to join in that mindset, and we're all going to have that mindset. Well, what does that mean? Well, now he's going to talk about relating to each other. Well, you got to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And in humility, you got to consider others as better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude, if you want an example or a template, it should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then he goes into that great early hymn of the church, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, and on he goes. Number three in your outline, here's the perspective we need to bring, right? Perspectives we need as we connect more often. The first one starts with us thinking through what God does for us. And look at the words again in verse number one, encouragement, comfort, fellowship, tenderness, and compassion. And he's getting them to think about it. If there's any of that in being united with Christ, his love, his spirit, your relationship with him. Oh yeah, there is. Let me think about that. There is all of that. He says, then let's start doing that with each other. The point is, because I know some of you say this, well, it's, I don't know, it's draining people. I would rather sit in the family room and watch TV. I don't want to go to the beach, and I don't like sand, and it's hard, and people have problems, and oh, forget it. Okay, if that's your mindset, here's all I'm saying. If you feel too empty to minister to anybody at the beach tonight, see, we need to get back to what God has done and does do for you. You need to, letter A, pointy finger number one, be fueled by Christ. You can't do this empty. You have to recognize that God is investing in you all the things you need to do this in others. He has given you encouragement. He has brought you comfort. He does provide you with fellowship. He does give you tenderness and compassion. Now, if you can follow this logic here, because it's getting a little tricky, but here's the thing. It's not all that tricky, but here's the thing. God is supplying a lot of these things in your life and mine through people, right? When he's brought us compassion or comfort or encouragement or tenderness, where did it come? Paul says this to the Corinthians. He says, God who comforts the depressed comforted us by the coming of Titus. Now, wait a minute. Look at that carefully. He comforts us. Who comforts us? God does. How does he do it? Agency. Titus. So the point is, if I think in my life, yeah, I have been encouraged when I've been down, and I have, and I've had comfort from the love of God, and sometimes that comfort has been focused through the life of someone, the fellowship with the Spirit. Sometimes I haven't felt alone walking through the valley of the shadow of death because God has brought Titus into my life at the right time. Tenderness and compassion has often come through the words and just the affirmation of the people of God. So all of that has come into my life. Now my goal is to try and pass that on. I need to have that mindset, like-minded. I need to have that kind of love, that same love. I need to have that kind of spirit and that kind of purpose. So you need to be fueled by Christ. That means that the goal isn't just to stand around, hang out, talk about your 12 stories that you like to tell when you meet new people. That's not the goal. The goal is going to involve you doing some listening, right? Because you need to figure out, how can I bring encouragement, comfort, fellowship, tenderness, compassion? How can I be an agent of that to this person? You need to start by listening. And that would be a good place to start. You want some conversation starters? Try stuff like this. What's God doing in your life? Start with that. That'll bring up a topic, and then listen carefully, and then see, how can I encourage? How can I bring comfort? How can I provide fellowship? You're not alone. How can I bring tenderness and compassion to this? That would be good. What's God teaching you? What's happening in your life? Just start those conversations and listen carefully. It may involve that you tell a couple stories, but the goal needs to be clear. As God has ministered to me, I want to minister to others. Matter of fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that sometimes the bad things he brings into our life are for the express purpose of training us to teach us how to comfort other people. He says the comfort that we've received when we were distressed, that's the point. We were going through training so that we could comfort someone else. My wife and I went through infertility for years. That's helped us be a comfort to people who've gone through infertility. We've got a handicapped child. That's been really helpful when we deal with bringing comfort and encouragement and compassion and tenderness from God through us to people with handicapped children. That's been helpful. Now, I'd prefer not to have a handicapped child. I'd prefer not to have been infertile. I'd prefer to not have any pains in my life. But the Bible says those pains are brought into my life, the Bible says, to prepare me to minister to people. Tonight, at the beach, today, over lunch. Well, he goes on to say in verse 3 and 4, to do this, you got to do nothing out of selfish ambition. This isn't about you or vain conceit, not about me looking good in a conversation tonight, but in humility, considering others as better than yourselves. Each of you should not look out for your own interests only, but you should be also looking out for the interest of others. Well, that's hard to do. As a matter of fact, that whole line about, well, consider others as better than yourself, well, frankly, I don't think they are better than me. Well, you may think that. And you know what? You might be right. But the Bible says I ought to consider them that way. How do you do that? Well, the passage doesn't tell us, but Jesus told us. So allow me just a little sidestep here to get this point crystallized. If I'm really going to consider people better than myself, ready to say, I'm here to try and provide encouragement, comfort, fellowship, tenderness, and compassion. And I'm going to say, yes, your situation, your life setting, it's important. I want to minister there. You're more important. Then I'm going to need this perspective. And Jesus gave us it. Here's the key. Here's the trick, if you will. You ready? Jesus said, just consider that the people you're ministering to are me. That's what he said. He didn't say that. I don't know that verse. You know what he did say? He said it over and over again. He said stuff like this: if you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. If you hand a cup of cold water in my name to the least of these, you're not going to lose your reward. I will reward you for that. He inverted it. If you don't do it to the least of these, then you haven't done it unto me. Let's get back to the nomenclature of who we are. He calls us the body of Christ. If you've done it to the people of God, they're the body of Christ, then you've done it to Christ. That's the key. So let's, number two, crystallize the point this way. You want a perspective when you go to lunch with someone today? Here it is. You need to be seeing Christ as the recipient of your connectedness, your encouragement, your compassion, your interest. That changes everything. If I said to you, hey, you know, I know this was really hard and it took me I had to pull a lot of strings, but here's the deal. I got Christ coming to the beach. He was busy, but I got him to come. Coming down from heaven, going to be on the beach. Now, let's just start with that. Those of you going, I don't like the sand, and it costs 10 bucks, and I don't want to support the national parks or whatever. Change your mind if I say Christ is going to be there? I bet you'd come. And then I'll bet if I said, hey, Christ is coming, and he's there balancing his little red plastic plate on his knees, and he's got one of those little lowrider beach chairs, and he's sitting there, and he's got his little burnt hot dog on there that I cooked him up, and he's got his robe on and his beard, and he's sitting there, and he sits down, and he realizes he's about 10 yards from the cooler that he didn't get a Pepsi, and he goes, and you saw that, would you go over and get him Pepsi? The King of Kings? Well, sure. Absolutely. I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd fight to do that. Let's say he's showing up late, got hung up, gets there late, and he shows up while you're chatting with your three favorite friends, and he's got his chair, and he walks up by himself. Everybody's already got their little place and their little friends and their little circles, and the fire's over there, and he's kind of like, where am I going to sit? And you're chit-chatting with your best friend. Hello, what are you doing this summer? Oh, my kids are... And over the shoulder of your best friend, you see Jesus trying to figure out a place to sit. It's Jesus. You're going to go over and say, oh, sit over here. I'd love for you to join us. I'll bet you do that. Am I right? And if you want the right perspective when you go to try and connect with God's people, consider every person there Christ. They are the body of Christ. And that's not normally how we function. But if you function that way, do you think you could obey that command a whole lot easier than just looking at us as the kind of wart-filled people we are? Look what it says, verse number three, consider others as better than yourself. Do you consider Jesus of Galilee better than you? Oh, no-brainer. We'll carry that into the real people that you see every Sunday. And you won't rush to your car right past Jesus Christ, would you? You'd stop and talk. Consider them, see them as the recipient of your care. I think of the inverse of this. Two passages came to mind. One was Acts chapter 9. The pre-converted Paul, who was then Saul, knocked off his horse on the way to Damascus. Do you remember what Jesus said? You want to invert the principle. He knocked Saul off the horse, and he said, why do you persecute me? Wait a minute. You're seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And he said, well, who are you, sir? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Do you know how personally God takes this? The neglect and the encouragement? Whether you want to invert it or not, the other passage I thought it was 1 Corinthians 8:12. When you sin against your brother, you sin against Christ. Well, if you want, as if we needed more, one last verse, verse 5. As we look out for the interests of the body of Christ this week, he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We need to let her see, follow Christ's example. Who, by the way, I just want to ask, was he convenienced for our good? Yes. He actually, the ultimate expression of his love is that he laid down his life for us. And by the way, isn't that how John loves to turn it around? If he laid down his life for us, we ought to what? Lay down our lives for our brothers, for each other. He was way more than inconvenienced for our good, wasn't he? He demonstrates his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think I can get sand between my toes, see? I think I can pay 10 bucks and park at the beach parking lot. I think I can take someone to lunch when I'd much rather hibernate in my eremical monasticism of my den, right? I think I could do all that if I just follow the example of Christ, who, being in very nature God, talk about someone who wasn't less than us, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, which is humbling. He humbled himself even more than that by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, unthinkable humility. But therefore God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Don't you get overwhelmed sometimes with the paradoxical statements of Scripture like that? That the greatest act of love was the wrath of a cross? That going down is actually going up? That being humbled is really the process of being exalted? What did Jesus say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. There are people here that could prove that. If I opened up the mic, we could have testimony hour and everyone could say it. But if you're too busy being a hermit to not have a testimony like that, I would strongly advise you and admonish you to widen your little comfortable circle, whether it's just your family or your two favorite friends, and start including other people. Because the problem with a church like ours is half of you are new. And you're looking across the aisle at someone and saying, why doesn't he say hi to me? And that person's new looking at you saying, why doesn't he say hi to me? Right? Go up in conversations, just assume that you're there to serve and edify and build up and encourage people. I mean, God loves to exalt that kind of sacrifice. And I don't mean to demean this great passage of Scripture, but it is there because it started as an example of an attitude. And it's the attitude we need to adopt.
You're listening to Focal Point. Today's message from Pastor Mike Fabares is called Being More Intentional About Biblical Fellowship. It's just one portion of a mini-series in Luke called Connectedness. Purchase CDs of this complete study when you go to focalpointradio.org. Well, today Pastor Mike's encouraged us to get into a setting where the rich fellowship in Christ can happen. By sharing meals, opening your home, and wrestling for others in prayer, you're allowing God's encouragement to get passed on through you. And as you connect one-on-one, did you know you can actually play a pivotal role in changing the course of our entire nation? 2/3 of Americans identify themselves as being unchurched or even de-churched. Well, that's quite a field. As a Focal Point listener to this very station, you're helping to turn the tide by reaching thousands with the penetrating light of Christ from your community and beyond. We speak the truth contained in the Scriptures, so biblically minded men and women like you who value solid teaching are transformed and equipped to shine the light of Christ into the darkness. And just by giving a year-end gift today, you ensure Pastor Mike's power-packed expository teaching remains a constant beacon of truth. Send in your most generous tax-deductible year-end gift online at focalpointradio.org. We'll thank you with a copy of the complete book of Who's Who in the Bible. This 600-page biographical encyclopedia provides rich historical background for every noteworthy person in the Bible. Request this comprehensive gift-ready reference tool when you send in your special year-end donation by calling 888-320-5885. You're important to us just for listening, and when you check in to let us know you're with us, we've got a free gift for you. It's the engaging and thought-provoking booklet called From Creation to Bethlehem, just in time to spark meaningful Christmas conversations with the curious and seeking in your life. Request your free copy online at focalpointradio.org. I'm Dave Drewy. Tomorrow, Pastor Mike Fabares shifts our focus onto Christmas. Join us Thursday for Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.